Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us now ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 5 through 8. And I've entitled this morning's message, Voices from Our Past Still Cry Out. Voices from Our Past Still Cry Out. This morning we're going to focus on Noah. Noah was a man that desired to obey God. And because of his obedience, God even said that Noah was righteous. Amen? And this is before the cross now. This is before we became righteous through Christ. And so we're going to see that his voice is still crying out from 4,000 years ago. Why? Because we have to look at the ark that symbolizes today as the cross. Both were pivotal points in time regarding salvation. Unfortunately, in his day, only 8 were saved. But in our day and time, 2,000 years, millions and millions have been saved by the blood of Jesus through the cross. And God is still saving. God is still pouring out. Amen? And so, let's go to the Word. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. And the Word of God reads, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now just imagine that. During this time, it says that every thought was evil continually. Every thought. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. This is one thing that we need to be praying for in the time that we live right now, is that God doesn't finally grieve in his heart and says, now I'm done. I'm going to pour out what? Judgment. Look at this, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. You see, saints, fearing God always reflected in obedience to him. And he always rewards obedience. Can I get an amen? Now, Hebrews identifies this. Look at this in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, now this is by faith, Noah divinely warned of things not yet seen. So for 100 years, he kept building and building, not knowing that it would ever rain, because during that time, in that era, during that place and time, there was no rain that ever hit the ground. Rain was not heard of. And so it says that he was divinely warned of things not yet seen, but he moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Did you know that we are righteous because of faith through Christ? And so now God has imputed righteousness upon us by faith. Well, it's nothing that we've done. It's what he did on the cross. And now we have entered in by faith. And so fearing God is always reflected in obedience unto him. And he always, let me just say that, I need to reiterate this. He always rewards obedience. When you choose to obey him, blessings will follow, even through your trial, even through affliction. You stay obedient unto him, and blessings still will pursue you. Noah, far from being a mariner, there was no oceans back during this time. He began building a strange-looking boat with one small window. And by the grace of God, I believe it was Yolanda and Catherine that went to Kentucky this year. Yes. And they saw that. Look at that. That's a true replica right there on the screen. And they were able to go in, I think it was three floors, and they saw where all the animals would live and where they would store the food and the water. And there was only one door, and God steered it. He closed the door, and they were shut in for what, 40 days, 40 nights? And it was all steered by God. They were trusting God. Now, let me tell you, that is faith. To build that, to go in when he says go in, and then he closes the door, and then it starts downpouring. Water from the earth and water from above came and flooded the earth. And everything that lived died. Wow. If that wasn't judgment, I don't know what that was. But God said it would be, and he had to do it. As he built it, he proclaimed to all who would listen that God told him a flood was coming to destroy all of civilization. Everything. Every creature. Every creeping, crawling creature. Every reptile and mammal. Every bird. Everything was destroyed. Every living organism. The water was above the highest mountain. I think the highest mountain was what? Mount Ararat? Somewhere in the Himalayas? It's the highest mountain. The water was above that. So nothing could survive it except the eight that were in the boat. Couple this strange scenario with the fact that the history of the world, it had never rained whatsoever. So there was no record of rain. And yet they went into that boat and they built it by faith because God said it would rain. Is there anything that God ever said to you that didn't sound, it sounded strange to you? And yet, God brought it to pass, and now you understood why he said it? Oh, come on. One of the things that was miraculous for me, when he delivered me from all the drug use, I'm talking delivered me, when the custodian led me to the Lord, I think the most miraculous thing was that I had at least 30, 35 people that I were close to me that I dealt with. And I cut them off in one day. Because God said, cut them off. And I was obedient to it. And when I cut them off, I didn't realize that God had a new set of friends and family waiting for me inside of a church. Amen. That chose to love me despite of my past, that chose to nurture me. I didn't go in there prejudged. I just saw open arms and hands saying, welcome to the family of God. And that's how it should always be. Can I get amen? We should always love one another and praise God, especially what God has delivered you from. You see, the true story of Noah and the ark has leaped from the Bible to capture the imagination of young and old alike in every generation for nearly 40 centuries. The story still continues about this ark here, about Noah and the ark. But when Noah relayed this message to the people of his day, none of them believed. None of them believed. Ask yourself this. How many people have you shared Christ with, and yet still today, some have not believed? If they believed, they would be sitting with you, or they would be in some other church praising God, worshiping God, leading Bible study, wanting to be with the saints, having like-mindedness, having that koinonia spirit, having that same mind of Christ. And yet, many of them are still walking in unbelief. Well, it hasn't changed in 40 centuries. There's still people throughout those 40 centuries that still never believed the things of the Lord, and especially the past 2,000 years, what Christ did for them. But for us, we are never to give up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We are to hold the bloodstained banner, proclaim Him, proclaim what He's done in your life, share with them what Christ wants to do in their life, and let them know that there's a hope.
Right.
How many believe that there's hope?
Yes.
There's hope in Christ. There's hope in the living God. The Apostle Paul, all the apostles, including Peter, called Noah a preacher of righteousness. Can that be said of you? Do people know you as a preacher of righteousness? Can people say, yeah, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they preach righteousness now. They're not the same. Well, Peter proclaimed him. He proclaimed Noah. Look at this in 2 Peter right up here. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 7. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved who? Noah. One of eight people. Look at, here it is. A preacher of righteousness. Peter proclaimed that. Peter saw that he was what? A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. He told the truth, and yet they still did not believe. Look at this in verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. God still has mercy. Mercy. You see, my friends, man's wickedness caused God to resort to a destructive flood. And it was Noah's godly fear and righteousness that caused God to warn him and to give him and others an opportunity to escape. Let me just say this. When God's ready to pour out judgment, He's going to warn us. He'll come to you in a vision, a dream. He may even send an angel to come to you. But let me just say this. He won't allow calamity to come on His children. We saw how He warned Lot and Noah. He will come and warn you and I. Can I get an amen? Because God loves us. He loves His creation. He loves us. The Bible says He loved us while we were yet still sinners. And now we are His, sanctified, set apart. And you know what I love about it? There's nothing that we did to earn it. When He made the choice, when He chose you, there was nothing you could do about it other than, here I am, Lord. Here I am, God. And He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. He opened our understanding on who He was. And as soon as He did that, we saw the cross. And when we saw the cross, we saw what He did. Before that, prior to that, all those years before we came to that place, we were walking in unbelief until He quickened you. He made you come alive at that moment to see who He was, to see who He is, and to let you know that he came to die for you. It was God's grace. And so although Noah escaped the judgment of the flood, he was able to save only his family. So we don't know how many thousands that lived in his community. But one must wonder, here he is for 100 years building that ship that we just saw. Just imagine the mockery that he got and the ridicule. It never rained. What are you doing? And he told him, God said, it's going to flood. And I'm building a boat. And all of you are welcome. They laughed and they mocked. Has it changed today? You talk about Jesus, they laugh and they mock. They don't want Jesus in the school system. They don't want him in the court system. They don't want him in the public square. They don't want him on the job. Nothing's changed. It's still the same. And so, what I love about God is this. God warned of destruction. The ancient days of Noah's civilization was wicked than we can ever imagine. I can't even think of the things that they thought of. And they didn't even have the internet. They couldn't go to porno sites from their phone. But yet their thoughts were evil. I believe their thoughts were just about killing somebody. Because they were wicked. Wicked. And it takes God a whole lot for him to decide, I got to destroy you now. Wow. Jesus, help us. Our world, we know, without a shadow of a doubt, is wicked today. But the Bible says of Noah's day that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. We saw this in the opening of the scripture. We'll look at it again. Look at this in Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So it was an ongoing thought life. And the Lord was sorry that he made man of the earth. Man, that when God has to resort to that, where he says, I'm sorry that I made man, that's how far the mankind went during this time, during that dispensation. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. The prophet Jeremiah understood what God had revealed to Jeremiah. Look at this. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. And so, God in his grace warned Noah. He warned Noah. He said in verse 13, look what he said in Genesis 6:13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So my assumption has to be correct here. Violence means murder, means harming, maiming, destroying life. And so when you see violent movies today, it's all about death. Blowing somebody up, stabbing someone just unthinkable things. And so it was filled with violence. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, help us. God always had people of righteousness to whom he could raise, through whom he could communicate with mankind. And Noah was one. Can it be said of us Can God depend on us to speak to us, to proclaim righteousness in the day that we live in? You see, he could talk and convey his message so that they could turn and relay his words to the people of that day. Noah was God's man, and many often refer to the dispensation of conscience. That dispensation of conscience, meaning being aware of the things of God. Noah was part of the godly line descending from Seth, as opposed to the godliness line of Cain. We all know who Seth was, and we all know who Cain. Cain came from the murder side. Who did Cain kill? His brother. Who? Abel. Well, Noah didn't come from that line. Noah was the grandson of Methuselah and the great-grandson of Enoch, a patriarch known for the walk with God and his translation into heaven. Did you know that there's only two people that never saw physical death that we could think of other than Christ? And who were they? Who are the ones that God took from the earth? And Enoch. Yes. And so Noah came from that line. And so what a blessing. What a blessing that we don't know. Because billions of people have sprung from those generations to our modern day now. So could it be, I'm just thinking out loud, this is just Pastor Fee 101. This is not biblical truth here. But could it be we came from that line? Because God saved us. Can I get amen? Because we see right here, there was a separation. There was an ungodly lineage, and there was a godly lineage. And the godly lineage, Noah came through there. And through that lineage came King David. Then came Jesus. All of them came through that line. Could it be? I'm just saying. Did we come from that line? I don't know. All I know is I'm thankful that he saved me. And be thankful that he saved you. Can I get an amen? And pray for those who still need to be saved. Amen? Praise God. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:5 here. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that pleased God. Notice these folks, they somehow pleased God. Let that be known of us, to always have that heart to please God in word and deed, both word and deed. Praise God. And then in Genesis 6:8, we saw that. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Bible also describes Noah as a just man, perfect, that he walked with God. It is commendable, saints, that Noah maintained his integrity in spite of being surrounded by sin. That's the challenge for you and I, because we're surrounded by sin. Can I get an amen? There's sinful people on the job. There's sinful people that we know. There's sinful people everywhere. And yet, can you hold your integrity? Can you still proclaim Christ? Can they still see a difference? Can they see, well, you know what? That person's not like us. He's one of them. I remember when I first got saved, I was called so many names. Oh, he's a holy roller now. Oh, he's a tongue talker. Oh, he's this and that. You know, and I used to remember, even some family members, how long is that going to last? It's only but the grace of God that 37 years have gone by. And God is still keeping me. He's keeping me. Can I get an amen? He's the one that keeps us. It's all but the grace of God. Because we're rotten to the core. I hope you know that. We're all rotten to the core. Yet he still holds on to us. He still gives us a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. He still gives us that unction in us that when we do wrong, we get convicted. Can I get an amen? Or you don't do wrong anymore. See, Noah, he warned his world. He let the people know that God was going to bring judgment. Look at this in 2 Peter 2:5. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So he proclaimed righteousness. And he told that dying civilization back then that God was going to bring a flood. Now, the Bible does not tell us how Noah evangelized the world, but it does call him a preacher of righteousness. I think it was his actions. I think it was the way he lived. I think that they were sanctified, set apart. I don't think they partied like the others or did the things like the others, or God would not call him righteous. So there was a distinction with him. And so praise God. Let me just say this. When God mentions that about a person in the Word of God, God wants every generation to know this. That what he calls righteous, it's righteous. And who are we to debate it? To argue with it? To defy it? To say, oh, it was good for them. No. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark in saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Look at in Hebrews 11:7 here. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things, yet not seen, moved with what? Godly fear. This is what's needed today in our society, the fear of the Lord. If you don't have that reverential fear of the Lord, then guess what? Anything goes in your life. There's no conviction. There's no sense of righteousness. Everything goes. Everything's permitted. Everything's free. Like in L.A., smash and grab. You ever seen those guys? They just smash the glass, go in there and take everything, and the cops don't do nothing. Yolanda and I, we went down to the San Ysidro outlet. We went to a Nike store, and we were looking at some shoes. A kid comes in with a backpack, loads up about 4 shoes in his backpack. We saw him do it. And then he just walks out. I told the counter, I said, lady, he just put 4 boxes and walked out. I go, you want me to go run them down for you? He goes, no, once they leave, we got to let them go. I go, so do I have to pay for mine? I was just kidding around with her. But they do that. They just load up and go. It's like, boy, what's this world coming to? Oh, help us, God. You see, my friends, it seems that it was the presence of the ark that condemned the world and not necessarily their preaching. He was a preacher of righteousness, not condemnation. Can I get amen? Nowhere do we find him telling them, get right or get left. God just called him a man of righteousness, so he must have just lived a righteous life. And he loved God, and God loved him. Did you know that Jesus did not condemn the world? How many believe that when Jesus came, he didn't come to condemn the world? He didn't. Matter of fact, he came and sat with the sinners. He fellowshiped with the sinners. And the Pharisees were mad. Why are you sitting with them? Don't you know what they do? And what did Jesus tell them? These people, you guys don't need a doctor, but these do. They need help. Well, we see in the Word. So if you ever want to know that Jesus did not condemn the world, You have to always go to the Word. So in John 3:17, look at this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So in other words, before Christ came, fallen man was already condemned. Did you catch that? But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when we're born into this world, we're born into sin, shaping an iniquity. Eventually, when we come to that age of consciousness, by God's grace, if he has chosen you, he'll awaken you and you will turn to him like he did to us. I didn't know I was going to get saved at the age of 30, but he chose that. I didn't. I wasn't looking for him. How many of you can honestly say you were searching for God? None of us were seeking God. I wasn't. He was seeking me. He was pursuing us. Isn't that something? God will pursue you. He pursues you as soon as you exit your mother's womb. He's pursuing you. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. This is why I love this salvation. You know why? Because there was nothing that I had to do in it. You put your hand in it, and now it's all fouled up. But God did it all. That's why I can rejoice. God, thank you, God, because I had nothing to do with this salvation. You did it all for me. And I'm mighty thankful and grateful. And now I could proclaim you. I can let others know what you've done for me. And he could do the same for you. You see, the people were lost in Noah's day because those folks would not repent of their wickedness. That's why God said continually they were evil. And not merely because they failed to get into the ark. If they had been righteous, they would have gotten into the ark. But since they were wicked, they did not even consider it. You know, Disney's bold. You know Disney? Having a movie called Wicked. Bold. Flat out, Wicked. Scenes in there of homosexuality for kids to see. Lord, help us. And they make it sound like it's a musical. And let me just ask you this question. In a satanic sense, what animal is exalted in a satanic ritual? What animal? Say that again. Goat. A goat. And so the teacher in this Wicked movie is a goat. It's not surprising. It's all under the guise for children. She's a good witch. I don't care if it's a black witch, a white witch. It's all satanic. And they want to infiltrate a young mind that it's okay. It's okay. It's just Disney. No, it's witchcraft. It's satanic. And when you open that door, guess what else comes out of that? These hidden demons will come out. Ask your little child if they can't sleep at night. Yes. Because demons will torment them. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. You know, the devil's cunning. That's why they call him Old Slewfoot. He's cunning. Last week we read about him. What? When he would go to God about Job. And he says, you only got a hedge around him because you bless his life. Take the hedge down, and watch him curse you to his face, to your face. And God allowed him to do that. And did he do it? No. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, God gives warning for today. Do you know God's warns today? Look what Matthew wrote down in Matthew 24. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered to the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. This is why I always share this, saints. You could take this or leave it. Every day that God gives us, prepare as though he's coming that day. Can I get an amen? Amen. Wake up in the morning. So, Lord, if you're coming today, let my heart be ready to receive you, God. Amen. I want to be ready to be with you, God. Why? Because we are living in the days of Noah. It's wicked. We live in wicked times. When a movie is now, a violent movie is now rated R, which should be rated X, there's all kinds of bloodshed, shooting, stabbing, killing, cursing, sex, in and out of bedrooms, fornication, all that. And it's normal to people now. Mark Biltz, you remember Mark Biltz? He said in the 40s and 50s, when the movie Gone with the Wind came out, they wanted to ban that movie because that movie had the D word. You know, the D word, D-A-M. It had that word. They wanted to ban it. And now. The Wolf, that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, whatever. DiCaprio. He did a movie called The Wolf of Wall Street. 374 times he used the F-bomb. From the one D word in the 40s to today now. And then they did a survey that Gone with the Wind was never ever in a Christian home. And now in Christian homes, there's those R-rated movies. He said that in about 10 years, even in the Christian home, there'll be porno and everything else. Because that's how Satan has basically lulled the church to sleep. I know this is a hard saying or hard preaching, but this is truth. We see it right before our eyes. And preachers are no longer standing for righteousness. Jesus warned that the time preceding the second coming would be similar to the days before the flood. He said that there would be a time of eating, drinking, marrying, and divorce, and moreover, there would be a lack of knowledge of God's, the lack of God and the spiritual knowledge before the flood would come. Before destruction would come. Listen to this. Eating and drinking seems to imply a preoccupation with pleasure. It is evident that our present world is a pleasure-hungry world. Many people today expend much time and effort in the pursuit of personal pleasures like no other time before. Everyone always is looking for pleasure in many places. Jesus' prophecy concerning the last days, it harmonizes with Paul's warning to Timothy, his son in the gospel. It's right up here. Look at this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. I found this FBI and Wikipedia survey. Since 1973, Roe versus Wade, there have been 73 million aborted babies. That's 201,533 per day. Per day. As we speak, as I'm speaking right now, a child is being murdered in the womb around the world. And there are now 50 states in our union that have legalized homosexual marriages. And our commercials now, there's drug medicines with homosexuals on them. We're trying, yeah, it's like mankind is coming up with medical technology, medicine, to keep them alive. When God is saying, you know what? I need to punish you for this. Look at this. Godly fear activates obedience. I'm going to give us some key scriptures in Proverbs. And the fear, look at this. The fear of God initiates innumerable blessings. The fear of God. Let me ask this question to us. Do you guys fear God? I fear God. Not that I'm scared that I want to hide and duck from Him. No, it's reverential fear, meaning, oh God, I love you and I fear. I'm in awe of you. You're majestic. You're beyond imagination. He's so beyond us. We can't even comprehend how glorious He is, how mighty He is, how invincible He is. And it should start with the fear of the Lord. Now, here's for us to understand. If you read these simple proverbs, it'll take you a long ways. Number one, look at this. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, unbelievers, they don't want nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. They have no clue. They will reject it right away. Look at this one. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Woo! You know people that swear and curse? God says, I hate these folks. He says, I hate folks that curse. You know, a lot of them think it's, they'll say this in front of you. Oh, excuse my French. Yeah. They don't even say that no more. They just curse and they think that you can curse with them. Yes, normal. But He says, I hate the perverse mouth. God said, I'm glad Pastor Fee didn't say this, that God said it. So take it up with God. Can I get an amen? I'm just the mailman passing the mail today. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Understanding God, who He is. Praise God. Understanding God. Oh, look at this one. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Did you catch that? You live a wicked life, your life will be shortened. I know some people that never made it past 40. I know some people that never made it past 25. I shared with you guys that I used to roll with. I saw some get killed in front of me, and they never made it to 22 years of age. The years of the wicked will be shortened. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. God wants to give us life. God wants to give us abundant life. God is so good to us. And He'll allow us. You know, He'll empower you to turn away from the snares of death. There's so many things out there in this life that want to just snuff out our life. But if God be for you, who could be against you? Can I get an amen? Look at this. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Walk with humility. Don't walk with arrogance and pride. You know, those days are gone. You know, the days of what up? What's up? Let that not be part of you no more. It's gone. It's buried with the old man. Look at this. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will be visited. Oh, look at this. He will not be visited with evil. Wow. The fear of the Lord leads to life. You see, when you reverence God and you fear the Lord, He will bring you good things. Can I get amen? Amen. He'll encamp angels around your home. Oh, that's, yes, He will. He'll keep you at night. Yeah, we got an alarm we put on, beep, beep, beep at night. But you know what? He's watching over us. Any thief can get past that alarm. But when God is for you, who can be against you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Schofield defines the fear of the Lord as a phrase of the Old Testament piety, meaning reverential trust and hatred of evil. We need to learn to hate evil. Can I get an amen? I know it's tough in the age that we live in, but we can. There's nothing too hard with God. And it's not a feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence of nearness of danger, evil, or pain, etc., which is the usual definition of fear. But it is a reverence and a respect toward Him. That's how we need to fear God. Amen? Look at this. Godly fear motivated Noah to build an altar. The first thing that Noah did when he left the ark was to build an altar and offer to God an offering. Praise God. This act understood the importance that Noah placed on his relationship with God. So one of the things that we must continually do as a believer is this: but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You want a blessed life? Seek Him. You want abundance of grace and nurturement from Him? Seek Him. You want protection? Seek Him. You want wisdom? Seek the kingdom of God. Did you know that God will not withhold anything that's good away from you? He wants to give you everything. He wants to equip you. He wants to pour out abundance upon you. The altar represented a place where Noah met with God and God met with Noah. It's a meeting place with God that's so vital for victory. If you don't have that prayer time, you don't have that alone time, then what time do you have for God? It cannot just be church time. It's got to be private time, devotional time, time with Him, time spent with Him, asking God things what you need for your life? And when's the last time you asked God permission to do something? Or do we just go and do whatever we want to do? There were times when I first got saved until someone said, hey, listen, God hears everything. God knows your thoughts, your heart, your intent. But I was like very clamored, like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, until someone shared a word with me that really just freed me up in Christ so that I would never be ashamed of him. Because, you know, there's some believers, they won't, you'll never hear them share Christ with nobody. But when God set me free, I was sharing Christ with everyone that I can come into. Praise God. Hey, listen, before Pastor Art leaves, let's pray real quick for his mom. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Connie to you right now. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would heal her hip. Lord, heal everything right now. Heal the affliction. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be the God that will heal her and comfort her and give her the grace to go through. Thank you, God, for 90 years of life. God, there's so many people that have already checked out, and yet she's holding on. And that's but the grace of God. That's but the mercy of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for her son that's going to go comfort her. Lord, just continue to give him wisdom and comfort for her. Lord, let her know, God, that we've been praying for her. But let her know that you love her, God, in the name of Jesus. So bless my brother as he goes to be with her, oh God. Bless the family that's praying for her. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm almost done, saints of God. Can you endure just a couple more minutes? Amen. Amen. Look at this. Becoming heirs of righteousness. Did you know that you're an heir of righteousness now by faith? Did you know that? Look at this in Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was not obligated to warn Noah, but he did. Why did he do that? Because he found grace in the sight of the Lord. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church here. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That's the righteousness that we need. It's through Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Noah's walk with God not only attracted the attention of God, but it also saved him. By being righteous, he was separated from the evil masses that aroused the wrath of God. By being righteous, he received a remedy for wrath. By being righteous, he saved his whole entire household. You want your family saved? Stay righteous. Keep praying for them. Do you know that God will always remember what you've done for him? Do you know that he keeps a record? There's books in heaven, and there's the book of life, which our name is written. But there's other books. There's one that's called the book of remembrance. And everything that we've done on this earth, he wrote it down and remembers everything that we've done for him. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has something to do with your life, my life. And if you do the right thing, it's written down. If you do the wrong thing, that's written down. And he'll let us know when we see him face to face. Because we will stand before him at the Bema seat. We won't stand before him in the white throne judgment, like in the book of Revelation. That's for the unbeliever. The false prophet and the Antichrist is going to be tossed into the lake of fire, and all the unbelievers. But believers are going to stand before Christ in the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema seat. And he's going to let us know all the things we did in our life. Before we got saved, after we got saved, every idle word, every word that was spoken, everything that we've done, he's going to bring it to pass and let us know and remind us. So just be reminded today, be slow to speak. Some of us can fly off the handle real quick in anger. Say, oh God, calm my heart. Don't let me get angry, God. Give me wisdom for this situation. Help me, God, so that I don't offend you, God, and I don't offend my family. I don't offend no one else. And Lord, work it out for me. You know that God wants to work out every detail in your life if you trust him. If you trust him for that, he will. And so Noah was prosperous in God. Look at this in Genesis 9:1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's the grace of God. And then John the Revelator wrote this for us. And 3 John 2, look at this. In 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You see, when your soul prospers, everything else will line up. Amen. And God has heirs of righteousness today. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. And we're going to close in these next two scriptures here. In Galatians, Paul wrote to the Galatian church, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're heirs. I don't know, but you ever looked inside of a living trust? In a living trust, there's a will in there. And if someone has deceased and have left something there for you, you'll know it. It's in the will. Well, guess what? The Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. So everything that Christ has, he has given it to us. And he is in charge of the entire universe. You know, I think it was a day or two ago, someone in California was on the news. Someone won $1.2 billion. That's just a drop in the bucket to what God owns. God owns everything. And he has given it to us to enjoy. Did you know that our future life is going to be far greater than this present life right now? Because we're going to have the new body. We're going to be in that new body. We're going to be in a body that will never decay and never grow old. And we are so blessed, so blessed. And look at this in Romans 10:30. We're closing with this. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone what? Who believes. Who believes. And now, God has sanctified you, set you apart for his good will and purpose. And I'm praying for those right now who are listening that are on YouTube and Facebook. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you've never surrendered your life. Well, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Only Christ can draw you. Did you know that there's nothing mystical or magical with prayer? Prayer is a tool that God uses here on earth so that we can communicate with God that's in heaven. That's what prayer is. It's a means of communication with him. And so, since we're all here right now, pray this prayer by faith, and let's pray for the ones that are viewing right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Amen. Listen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.